Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Amino Hassan is going to stop by at 1040. Kevin Pelton, I like to call him the human computer, our analytics guru. When it comes to the NBA, he's going to stop by at 1115. It's all brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, running on the same network as the big boys for up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. No contract, no compromise. Straight Talk Wireless. So here's what we got. Good news, Greg Bergman. Dwight Howard is in.
Yeah. Look at that. The whole conversation yesterday means nothing now because Dwight's playing.
Well, I mean, I don't think it means nothing. That's the where you go immediately with that, because I don't believe that to be the case, because I still believe that the Lakers' best chance of winning a championship is Anthony Davis playing center.
Right, but it's going to be the same thing that happened during the season, where he's going to play the center position in the times that either JaVale or Dwight is not on the floor, and now you have Dwight with the ability to play 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, look, I do think that that part of it is good. I agree with you, where it takes less of the onus off of Anthony Davis, but my overarching point still remains the same, which is for the Lakers to win a championship, they're going to have to do that with Anthony Davis at center. Like, he's going to have to be willing to do it. That's it. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? Like, I don't even think you would argue that.
No, there's nothing to argue there. And he, I mean, as you well know, he's played the position plenty of times throughout the season. So,
I mean, plenty of times, I feel like, is a bit of a, is a little hyperbolic, I would say.
I have to look up the numbers, but he is playing the center position at some point in every game, I would say, for easily 5 to 10 minutes.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I'd have to look it up. I could do that in the break. How about that? I will do that in the break. I will look up the Lakers' minutes of Anthony Davis playing center. You're saying over under 5 minutes a game?
Yes, over under 5 minutes a game.
Okay, so, and we've played what? They've played how many games, the Lakers?
55.
No.
Anthony Davis. I'm looking at his stats. Anthony Davis has played 55.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. So you're saying 55 times 5 is what? 260 minutes, basically?
Season? Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So 260 minutes. I think that's about right, and it's probably even more than that.
Okay. You think it's more than 260 minutes overall. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. We will do that. 275 is actually the number. So
okay.
275 is the number as I did the math. It took me a second to do the math in my head. But anyway. All right. So Dwight is back. He announces he's in. And I'll ask you this, though. Is there any part of you now that doesn't feel 100% confident that they're going to win a championship? Like, if I told you right now, you had to bet your entire salary for a year, what percentage of confidence would you have in betting your entire salary for the year?
I mean, you know me and how tight I am with money. So 0% I'm doing my entire salary for a year. That's just not happening. Right,
give me a number you would feel comfortable with. That would also hurt you a little bit.
That would also hurt me a little bit. Like, let's say like a quarter of my salary.
That's more than I expected, to be honest with you. I was going to say like 1,000 or something. It wasn't even
okay,
that.
Okay, fine. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do 1,000.
Okay,
bucks.
So how confident would you be betting $1,000? Like, I told you, Greg, I am your bookie. I will take the Lakers at whatever odds they are right now, plus 180 or whatever it is they are, and you can lay a grand. Like, what level of confidence do you have in them right now if I told you had to lay a grand of your own money?
95% confident that that's thing. Yes.
95%. Okay. Wow.
I am as fully confident in this team and the way that they play together, and now with Dwight and coming off the bench and playing like he has been throughout the season, it just gives me that much more confidence. And yes, I would make that bet. Especially, I'm getting money back if they win. That's great. Extra money? You give me plus 180? Sure.
Yeah. Laura, where are you? I tell you, you have to bet $1,000 of your own money. How confident are you the Lakers are going to win the championship?
98%.
98%? You've actually raised the stakes on Bergman. You've made Bergman sound cheap. Make him sound like a bad Laker fan.
How dare you? How dare you?
No, but I love the confidence.
2,000. Look at she's raising the stakes on you, Bergman.
2,500.
3,000.
No.
You also make more money than her because you're one of the bosses. So you should actually, you should have said 1,000. You should have done what she did. You should have said, Sedano, 1,000? That's not enough. I'll put $5,000 on it.
Yeah. Again, you know me and how I go about money. This ain't happening.
You're like, hey, this is the first time I'm actually making money now, all right? So leave me alone.
Right, exactly. And it's really not even that much money.
Not giving it all up right away. All right, that's interesting.
Where would you put confidence?
I'd say like 75%.
That's still pretty high.
Yeah.
75%?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're going to go lower? What are you doing?
Well, let me think. Let me think about that.
I would say...
What's that?
That's low.
Low?
75? Yeah.
I mean, you're giving the Clippers no chance?
I mean, hello.
I mean, you just gave them. So wait a second. I get that. So out of those 2%, what are you giving the Clippers? Because are you not giving the Bucks? So you're giving the Bucks 1.5 and you're giving the Clippers 0.5?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So if I was actually doing it, I would say I would give the Lakers a 60% chance to win the championship. I would give the Clippers a 25% chance to win the championship. And then what's left there? Like 10, 15? Right.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah.
60, no, 25.
Yeah, 15. So I'd give the Bucks like a 15% chance to win, which, by the way, is the complete opposite, basically, of what the Basketball Power Index did. We talked about last week at ESPN. Remember, they gave the Bucks an 83% chance to win the championship and the Lakers only a 13% chance. And I think the Clippers were in the single digits, right? They were like 3-4, something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so, like, let's be honest here. You know the Eastern Conference pretty well. Do you give the Bucks an 83% chance to get out of the East?
Yeah, I would probably give them like an 80%, 75 or 80% chance to get out of the East.
Really? Because, I mean, like, there's so many teams that are, especially in this bubble and this whole thing is all working out with no fans, no home court advantage, that, you know, like teams like Miami and teams like Philadelphia and Boston could – play.
I mean, Toronto. You're not even including Toronto. But
right, well, Toronto is another one.
Yeah, I still think the Bucks are better than everyone. I just think that, look, I think you can scheme against them, but I don't know if those teams have enough firepower, right? Like, I think Philly does, like, as far as top-tier talent. Because the way I look at it is this. The Toronto Raptors are probably the best team, like, one through 15 or whatever, 1 through 17. I guess there's 17 players going to the bubble. I think the Raptors probably have the next deepest team if I had to go in that direction. I think Boston probably has the best, like, 5 or 6 man group, right? I think Miami has, like, I think Miami's
the best outside shooting.
No, I think Miami has like the right mix to beat Milwaukee. I think the problem they have is that is going to be their offense. So, like, defensively, I think that they're going to be good, but offensively, Jimmy is going to be good, obviously. But then you're counting on Bam, who hasn't played very much in the playoffs in his career. Tyler Hero was their second leading scorer in the fourth quarter in games, who's a rookie. You know what I mean? And like, so I feel like, and Goran Dragic obviously is good as a sixth man, but he's getting older. So, you know, he's still just a sixth man. Like, he's good for them. But I don't trust their offense as much as I trust their defense is the way I would say it. And then Philly has the best, like, the best 1-2 punch. You know what I mean? But then I don't trust the rest of their team. So, like, the rest of those teams in the East are flawed beyond Milwaukee in some way, shape, or form. Because Toronto, even as deep as they are, like, Siakam is going to have to be the number one guy. And Lowry is good as, like, a number two or three. But, yeah, like, I just don't know if I trust them.
So, I think Milwaukee has the best one of all. Obviously, Giannis is the best player.
Not even close. Yeah.
Yes, he is by far and away the best one in all of the East.
Yeah.
But But after that, I don't know if the number two, like Chris Middleton is their number two, who is a fine
player.
No, I
don't trust Chris Middleton either. Like, I think Chris Middleton is 2020 Eddie Jones. You know what I mean? Like, you know, bigger and taller and stronger. Right. You know what I mean? But similar skill set, good shooter, good defender. You know what I mean? Like, can be an all-star caliber player, but is he a guy like you trust? You know what I mean? Like when you've grown up a Laker fan. And look, you know, Eddie Jones played for the team I grew up rooting for, too. So, like, I like Eddie Jones as a player. But do you trust him, like, to be a championship caliber, like, number two or three guy on your team? No, right?
No, not at all. And that's why when he did leave, I was like, I was sad because I was like, oh, no, Eddie Jones.
But then Eddie Jones, a great player, like, really good player and, like, nice and, like, a good guy. And, yeah, but, yeah, that's how I look at Chris Middleton. But I think the gap between Giannis and the number one player on all those other teams is pretty wide still. I mean, I think Embiid is probably closest to him of all those teams you mentioned. And then I guess Tatum probably after that, because Tatum was playing really damn well towards the end of the season. But yeah, like I just think Milwaukee, even though I think they can be beat, I don't think that it's likely. You know what I'm saying? Whereas I think that the West, it's the Lakers and Clippers. You know, I've given the Rockets a puncher's chance the entire time, but that's just it. Like a puncher's chance. Like you get a lucky shot, right? Something has to happen that's fortunate for them to win, I believe.
Yeah, they go nuts from the 3-point line, which they absolutely can do for four games. Yeah.
Correct. And I think that's like a way that they could maybe beat the Lakers or Clippers, that they're shooting 45% or something from three for an entire series. Like, you can't stop that. There's nothing you can do. Like, you just ran into a buzzsaw.
Right. When James Harden's going like James Harden can at certain times, you're just not stopping that team.
So, but I don't think that's sustainable for a 7-game series. No. Like, that's just me personally. So that's why I still think it's Lakers or Clippers. But yeah, like I would give the Lakers the best shot by a decent margin, but I'm not dismissing the Clippers by any stretch of the imagination. And yeah, like, you know, again, I've already mentioned what I think of the Rockets, but yeah, I think that Milwaukee's still the team to beat in the East. I'm not, don't get it twisted just because I think they're vulnerable.
Right. And I think that's the biggest part about it, though. Yes, they are the team to beat in the East, and this is supposed to be their year to get out and possibly win the whole thing. You're talking about how the East is so flawed in every other team. That team is pretty flawed too, because like you said, you can scheme against Giannis and teams know how to scheme around him and build a wall to the inside. And he is kind of in trouble.
But here's what Milwaukee has, right? Milwaukee's defense is incredible.
Yes,
incredible. Okay. And their shooting is as good as almost, well, really, I mean, it's probably the best in the league. Like, if you look at it from, like, 1 through, you know, 12 or whatever the hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, even Brook Lopez, who didn't shoot the ball that well this year, he shot it at, like, 30%, is still a pretty good, like, you have to defend him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just leave him. So, like, they have guys on that roster around Giannis that are going to shoot threes. Like, Mike Budenholzer's strategy is not that difficult to see. It's basically, Giannis is the centerpiece. He's going to put a ton of pressure on the rim, right? And the guys around him can all shoot the ball. From Middleton to Bledsoe to Wesley Matthews, right? They even added Marvin Williams in the buyout market, right? Who's still a good shooter, even though he's old. You know what I mean? Like Kyle Korver, Brook Lopez, right? They've got guys that can shoot the hell out of the ball. And they're all good defenders, too, for that matter. You know? So I think that, I mean, outside of Korver, but like Korver's not playing all that much. He's playing, you know, spot minutes. Even Dante DiVincenzo can shoot the ball really well and is really athletic, can defend. Like, they've got a good team, but I just don't know if I trust their second best guy. Like, when I look at the Lakers and Clippers, I think in a series they beat Milwaukee, because I trust Anthony Davis and Paul George infinitely more than I trust Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe.
Right, yeah, absolutely. It's all about the two from all these other teams where Giannis is the only one for Milwaukee. So I'm in agreement
right,
in that.
Right, you need, for Milwaukee to win or to beat the Lakers or Clippers, you need the sum of the parts to also be really good. You know, now clearly Giannis if they're just good, okay, the sum of the parts in Milwaukee, it makes Giannis even better because you have to, you can't leave those guys on the perimeter. You know, like, and it's funny because there's actually an interesting tactic right now in regards to the NBA, and it's something I want to talk to Amin and Pelton about. I know Amin's going to join us at 10:40 and Pelton's going to join us at 11:15. And it's the way teams are defending the threes. And so I'll touch on that on the other side because I do think it's something Lakers and Clippers fans should be interested in. And also coming up next, I got a bargain for you, Greg Bergman and Laura. I'll tell you what that's all about next. You're on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Happy birthday, Cassidy. How old today, Laura? How old is Cassidy?
I believe he is 39, 38, 39.
Cassidy, 38, it says here. Yeah. 38, 38 for Cassidy. What is going on with Pusha T and Drake? What is happening there? Have you seen this thing on the internet?
I haven't.
Apparently, like, Pusha T is like, apparently trying to create another song that disses Drake. Drake is calling labels, allegedly telling him not to let him produce the song. Like, I don't know. Something's going on there between those two again. So I thought maybe you would know.
I don't. I've been so caught up in sports that I haven't looked at media, like music, like news in a long time. Mm-hmm. So you're more informed than I am.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Look at that.
So I give you props for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. So, Greg Bergman, I have totaled Anthony Davis's numbers. It is definitely over 275, not that much over if you really think about it. I have 331 minutes right now, which is 6 minutes a game. It's not that much more.
The question was it more than 5 minutes? And okay. It's 6 minutes. Okay.
That's fine. I said you were right. But based on my math, it's only 6 minutes a game. So it's not like he's doing it a whole ton, is my point.
He's still playing it every single game, is my own.
Well,
point,
I mean, not necessarily every game, but I mean, some games maybe he's playing more, some games he's playing less, some games maybe he's not playing it at all. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, long story short, he's averaging 6 minutes a game at center, based on my math. Okay.
Right. And that'll probably have to go up in the playoffs for them to win, which you've made
Correct. That
point perfectly
Correct.
Clear. I agree with it. It's just the fact is that you're going to have JaVale or Dwight on the floor most of the time, though, when he's out there. So it kind of is one or the other.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. No big deal. All I'm saying is that you were right. That's it. Like, it's okay.
I'm leaving it there.
You were right. It's okay. So here's the interesting thing about the stats that I was telling you about, you know, about Milwaukee and the Lakers and the Clippers and whatnot. Here's something interesting. So do you know that Milwaukee is 29th in the league in the amount of three-pointers they give up? Did you know that?
29th as in they're the worst? Or
29th as in second worst as far as the amount of three-pointers they give up.
Wow, that's actually kind of surprising.
Yeah, but do you know what they're – like defense is against the three, where they rank?
Second.
First.
Wow, yeah.
So they have figured out in some way, shape, or form how to finagle the right people shooting threes. Like Milwaukee's defense is predicated on forcing the wrong people to take the wrong shots. You see what I'm saying? Like, they will defend in a way where... Who's the Lakers' worst three-point shooter of the perimeter guys?
Right now, it's probably Kyle Kuzma.
Okay, Kyle Kuzma. Their defense is predicated on forcing the Lakers to let Kyle Kuzma shoot those open threes, but just not from the corners.
Right. I mean, those are also – okay, so with that, they're also playing in the East where they're playing against a lot of really bad teams. And that's something that in the game against the Lakers at the end of the season or the end of before it all went to hell is like they figured that out and they schemed against that portion of it. So they were able to get good shots.
No, I understand what you're saying, Greg. But what I'm telling you is that is what Milwaukee's going to try to do. I understand that you're saying that the Lakers will try to counter that. Of course they will. I'm not disputing that. Every team will try to counter everything the other team does. That goes unsaid at this point. But What I'm telling you is that's what Milwaukee's game plan is. And by the way, Toronto is also in that category. Miami is also in that category. I think Miami is the team that gives up the most threes as far as the amount of three-pointers for the opponent and is in the top three in three-point defense. So I do think that, look, now some of that may be luck, right? Some of that may be scheme. But it is interesting that you look at teams that defend the three well, the Heat, the Bucks, and the Raptors, and they're all in kind of that bottom three or four as giving up the amount of threes.
Right. So doesn't that then mean to you that a good post-play, good inside game is what is more important in these situations then?
Perhaps, but three is still more than two. You know what I'm saying? Like at some point or another, you got to understand those teams also shoot the ball really well. So, you know, I think that it's a trade-off that most teams would take. So it's going to take it. Look, you're going to have to be able to shoot the ball against those teams. Like you're not going to be able, like they're going to give you the shots. You just got to nail them. Like you're going to have some luck on your side too, or you're going to have such excellent ball movement that it's going to send them out of sorts a little bit.
Right. And that's everybody has to game plan against everybody, but that's kind of how you game plan against Milwaukee anyway, right? Is to stop Giannis. Don't let him into the paint. Allow some of these guys to take some open threes that you wouldn't normally allow.
Well, no, you can't let them take open threes because they'll kill you. Like you got, you can sag off a guy or two, but you can't really do that consistently. Like that's not the way to win. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong, and we'll ask Pelton and Amin that when they come on, because they would be more well versed in this stuff. But just based on the way I've seen it, I don't believe that that's a successful recipe, if that's what you're asking.
No. Do you have the actual stats of like 1 through 30 on of the 3-point percentage?
I mean, I can bring it back up again, but
right, because I just wonder where the Lakers are in all of that and how they play, because from what I remember, it's been a little while since I've watched them now, but from what I remember, they were pretty good at stopping the three as well, and they had a pretty good understanding of that portion of the game, especially because of Frank Vogel and how he teaches defense to every one of these guys, and having good perimeter defense, which Avery Bradley was a big part of that, but Danny Green is probably your best perimeter defender. Would you agree?
Of the guys left, I would say him and KCP, yeah.
Alex Caruso was a good perimeter defender as well. I think that they are probably pretty high. I would assume that they were pretty high on that list, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, probably. I mean, I don't know where they would be. I can look it up if you just give me a few minutes, but it's hard to do while I'm also trying to do a show. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that Patrick Mahomes' 10-year, $503 million extension, which includes $477 million in guaranteed mechanisms, the ability to have that all guaranteed, it's not for sure that stuff will be guaranteed, and the ability to have outs if the guaranteed mechanisms aren't exercised, do you believe that is a bargain?
Bargain is tough to say when you're getting that much money, but in this situation, yeah, he's the best quarterback in the league. He is going to be there for 10 years now, and you're going to be relevant for the next 10 years at least. I think this is a fantastic deal for Kansas City and for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think so too, because here's the thing. 10-year deals, first of all, you don't see a lot of them, right? Like, nope. Certainly not in the NFL. Now, I think that's the staggering part of all of this, right? Is that what was the thing that stood out to you the most? Was because the money obviously is going to add up, and clearly the money at $500 million seems insane, but it's the years, because you rarely ever see NFL deals that are longer than even 5 years, let alone 10.
Yeah, it's not the annual average value. It's the amount of years, because this is how the quarterback position goes. It goes up every single year. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers was making over 30, and then it went up even higher. So this is about where Patrick Mahomes is going to land anyway. So it's the years.
Right. 10 years is a long time. But I think, don't you think by like year 5 or 6 that, you know, the way the quarterback market tends to continue to go up and the way the salary cap generally tends to go up, that this will probably end up being a bargain, which is probably why he's got outs to be able to renegotiate if he wants to. But yeah, like think about that. By year 5 or 6, you're going to not be the highest paid quarterback. Probably by year three, you're not going to be the highest paid quarterback per year anymore, is my guess. Maybe three or four, I guess.
No, it's going to go up every couple of years because there's going to be another quarterback that comes out, and who knows who it could possibly be. Maybe it's Tua Tagovailoa, and he just comes out and he balls out, and all of a sudden he's now making, you know, $50
right, after
million
5 years, he's making more than 50, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So this is, at this point, it sounds huge, but in 5 years, it's going to sound like, oh, wow, that's it? $45
right.
million?
Yeah. Now, in sports, per year, right? The annual value of the contract, it's number two. Do you want to guess who number one is?
I know who it is, so do you want to ask Laura?
Okay, Laura, who do you think is number one per annual value in their contract in sports?
Any sport?
Yes.
American sports, no soccer.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah.
We'll go with LeBron.
No, it's not LeBron. It's Damian Lillard at $49 million, who just signed his big, big deal with the Portland Trail Blazers, but clearly not as long as Patrick Mahomes. The rest of the guys are all NBA guys. It's Mahomes number two, Harden at 42.8, John Wall at 42.8, Russell Westbrook at 41.4, Kevin Durant at 41.1, and Steph Curry at 40.2. So it is pretty fascinating to see where he lands on that. I think it's a great deal. I think that if you're Kansas City, I think the fact that you were able to potentially lock him up for at least 5 or 6 years is my guess before the outs come in. I think it's a good value. I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL, right? Like there's no argument against that anymore, right?
No, not at all. I think it's just interesting that he's the only player outside of the NBA that's in that top seven that you just named. And that's including baseball, where there is no salary cap. These
right.
are all salary cap leagues.
Per year, yes. Per year, that is the case. Yeah, Mike Trout does not crack that list right now.
Nope.
Yeah. Mike Trout would be next on that list, but he doesn't crack the list. But yeah, look, I think of it this way. I just think that if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, if you're paying him that much money, like what's the over-under on how many Super Bowls you need to win to make that thing feel like it's worth it?
Oh, in 10 years? I mean, you would have to think, what, 3 or 4 would be?
No, Craig, you know how hard it is to win 3 or 4 Super Bowls?
He's already won one. They've already won the one. I think that's all that they really care about right there.
Okay,
as long as they're
more,
in getting there.
Besides the one they have, like what? How many more do you think? What would you set the over-under at?
Oh, two.
That's better. I would say like 1.5 is probably 1.5 more, right, would be the over-under for sure. Because, look, Aaron Rodgers is, I think, been the best quarterback in the NFL over the last 10 years. And I think he's been better than Brady. He just doesn't have the team that Brady's had. He doesn't have Belichick like Brady's had. And he only has one.
Yeah, Drew Brees is the other guy who's been one of the best quarterbacks in history, especially by yardage. And he has one.
Yeah. So I think that you have to look at that and say to yourself that 1.5 is the over-under on something like that. Brady is the outlier, dude. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, you get one of those every generation or two. You know what I mean? Like, Joe Montana won a bunch of Super Bowls, obviously. Terry Bradshaw before him won a bunch of Super Bowls. But yeah, like you get one of those kind of guys, but that's it. But I mean, Joe Montana, you could have made the argument for a long time that he was the best because he was the best winner. But would you have really made the argument that Joe Montana was an actual better passer than John Elway or Dan Marino? Because I would say no.
Yeah, probably not. And then take Peyton Manning, but he has two also, and he didn't even win the second one because of him. He was late in his career with the
Broncos.
Right,
and a lot of people would tell you that he was a better quarterback than Brady, but
right.
Brady just had a better team.
Yeah, so I mean it's fair to say 1.5 is a good number for him.
But I do think that's a crazy good deal. Like it is pretty
fantastic.
Insane if you think about it. Like good for them. All right, coming up next, we've got some good news and some not so good news for the Dodgers. And by the way, if you are a fan of NBA Twitter, we have something for you that will really, really disappoint you. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Ooh, I like that song. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Amin's joining us in 7 minutes. We'll talk to him. Get to some Dodger news here in a second. But first, it ain't game day, but you can feast like it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, a fan favorite with new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church is bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. I did not do myself any favors yesterday. It was National Fried Chicken Day. I did skip it. Because
how
I asked,
dare you?
Well, I asked Mrs. Sedano. I said, "What were we doing for dinner today? Are we doing fried chicken?" And I, and she said, "Oh no, I didn't know." I said, "She said like I already pulled out seafood." So I was like, "Oh yeah." I mean, once you pull out seafood, it's not you can't go back at that point. You're kind of done. So
no, are you gonna get it today? You gonna make up for it today?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Perhaps that is the case. Although, man, my family, man, like my kids and my wife, they've been baking all sorts of crap during the entire quarantine. And just when I get like a week off from not having cookies or cake or something, there's a new cake in my house. And I'm like, enough with this crap already.
Oh, man. See, now you're living in the world of me where I'm eating.
Yeah, but
know,
I'm also
like
not eating. I'm not eating an entire tub of ice cream at 9 o'clock at night or whatever.
It's
the
not
hell
a
you were
tub.
Doing.
It's a pint. It's a much smaller deal.
Hey,
it's,
listen, you're the one that was pooping, not me.
I mean, it's true. But I feel much better today if you wanted to know.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. I'm sure everyone was waiting on bated breath to find out if you were okay from your pooping issue with from eating too much Ben and Jerry's ice cream the other day.
It was really good.
Yeah. So do you want the good news for the Dodgers or the bad news for the Dodgers?
I like bad news first.
Okay. The bad news is that the schedule came out, and my guess is you're not a huge fan of the schedule. Is that fair or no?
Yeah, that is fair.
And what is the biggest issue you have with the schedule?
I think the biggest issue I have is that they built it around like a regular, normal world scenario schedule. And they didn't really put this into play of thinking fully ahead of it. I know you have a lot of teams to all deal with, but like here's part of it. I'm looking at it right now. July 28th and 29th, they go to Houston. Now, you play the Texas Rangers later on in the season, but you're not playing them at the same time. Why don't you just, if you're in Texas already,
why don't you just make it one time? I agree.
And then they also have times where they're going back and forth. They're flying back and forth between
really
Seattle.
It's really
and
dumb.
Los Angeles and so Colorado.
Dumb.
And
so dumb.
For two games, for 2 days. You're just There's a time, two games in Seattle, two games home, two games or three games in Colorado. You're flying all over the place. This
Man,
isn't a regular time.
Let me tell you something. Major League Baseball, first of all, you saw the story, right, recently in the last couple of days about players being furious about the lack of testing, right?
Chris Bryant, yep.
Yeah, so there's that already. Like, that's a huge problem. Now, that hasn't been the case with the MLS. We had Stefano Fusaro on yesterday, right? They've had plenty of tests. We know that. My guess is the NBA is not going to have a lack of tests, right? They're not going to have issues there. And, you know, you saw the issue in the NFL recently where their NFLPA president, J.C. Treader, said that the league is not approaching the pandemic properly. They're saying the NFL is unwilling to prioritize player safety and believes that the virus will bend to football. Like, the league, you know, we've talked about it. The NFL is doing this like YOLO. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, what virus? What are you talking about? You know, business as usual. Yeah, they canceled the two preseason games, but outside of that and the virtual stuff, I get, but it's not enough. Like, he's worried about the testing. He's worried about the protocols. There's no protocols in place yet for training camp. And, you know, we're in July. Like, there's a lot of things that the NFL is doing wrong, too. But Major League Baseball, the testing is an issue. And the schedule, I'm with you. Like, what are you doing flying around that many times? You should have regionalized this thing. I thought the entire point of mega, mega, mega divisions was to have that. Like, not have to worry about stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. I just don't – look, I want baseball back more than probably anybody at this station, how much I love it, and I love the Dodgers, and this is their year. Yeah. I'm just worried. The schedule makes zero sense. This is not a regular season. This is a condensed season that you can't just fly around all over the place. You could have easily made this Texas and Houston in the same trip in Texas.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you don't do that.
Yeah. The good news, you ready for it?
I love good news.
So the good news is, I mean, really? I mean, I hope so. I mean, most people should love good news. But The World Series favorites, Yankees and Dodgers. Okay. Those are the World Series favorites right now. MVP, we'll start in the American League. Mike Trout, Aaron Judge are your top two guys.
Of course.
But in the National League, the top two guys are both Dodgers, Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger.
See, that's awesome. Now, with that, though, you worry about them possibly splitting votes. But it happened in Boston 2 years ago with J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts.
Right.
So it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty interesting. So those are good things for the Dodgers. All right, coming up next, I didn't get to the thing that will really disappoint NBA Twitter. We'll get to that in a second. And could Greg Popovich actually leave San Antonio? We'll talk to Amin about that. And, of course, his thoughts on the Lakers' chances with Dwight Howard back in the fold and his thoughts on Anthony Davis playing center. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Sedano with you on 710 ESPN. Amin's going to join us here in a second. It's brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Amin Ohassan, ESPN NBA front office insider with us here. Keep the song up for a second, Laura. This is for Greg Bergman, Amin, because he has literally been working out for 2 days. It took him 4 months during the pandemic to say, all right, I've gained too much weight. I'm going to start walking at 6 a.m. And he's already complaining. He's only been walking for 2 days. Oh, my back hurts. My hip hurts. My knee, my ankle. Dog, you've been doing this for 2 days. Like, this isn't the way it works. You know, like,
hey, whoa. Just for 1 second, my back was hurting, and that's why I'm starting to go on the walks. And I'm doing way more than that. Get out of here with that.
I mean, Laura, did he not complain about working out 2 days into working out?
Yeah, I was like,
there was no complaint.
Yeah. Always complaining.
Amin's here. Go talk to Amin.
I mean, for the love of God, this man. All he does is complain about something all the time. Good Lord. Anyway.
Let me play a devil's advocate. Is it complaining or is he just narrating?
No, he's complaining.
Thank you. No, it's narrating. Yeah, Amin's got my back. Thank you, Amin. That's much better.
He's complaining. Get out of here. So anyway, Amin, where were you when you found out that Magic Johnson admitted that he had someone else send his tweets for him?
Oh, I was on the radio with George Sedano at about 10:45 in the morning.
No!
On Tuesday.
No!
Wait, for real?
Yes! Yes! Wait, Magic Johnson admitted this yesterday.
He's not crafting them at all. He has nothing to do with his Twitter account.
Well, he does say that they tweet what he wants. You know what I'm saying? But what is that? How does that make you feel though? Like that it's not always him just going there and giving us his 2 cents.
So I'm gonna believe that he's dictating these tweets. That's all that means. He's not physically typing them on his phone. I'm okay with that. But if you're telling me that the content itself is not from the mind of Magic Johnson, then I will be outraged. Outraged. I feel lied to. Hoodwinked. Bamboozled.
Magic Johnson, he says he was asked about some other he was being interviewed by Rob Lowe, of all people, on Rob Lowe's podcast.
Rob Pelinka?
No, it wasn't Rob Pelinka. It was literally Rob Lowe. Yes, it says it here. It was Rob Lowe. And he asked him about his tweeting, and he asked him if he knew about a specific brand of podcast or whatever. He says, no, I don't know, but I have someone write them out. I tell them what I want to say, and they write them out.
Okay, so that's fair. He said, all right, yeah. So that's still him. I don't care who is physically doing the typing. It's not like he's saying things like, man, the LeBron James, Anthony Davis pick and roll is unstoppable, particularly when they have that side of the floor cleared out. And then the person who types the tweet says, LeBron James and Anthony Davis are really good to get. Like, that's not happening. Like, he's clearly telling them what to write. And they're writing him. And if that's the case, then all is well.
By the way, do you want to know that there's someone at this very station that has someone occasionally write their tweets for them?
Who would that be?
Would you like to take a guess?
I'm guessing Mr. Keyshawn Johnson.
You would be correct that occasionally has happened, that he has a social media person. I will not reveal who that social media person is, but I will tell you that occasionally that person.
Are they getting paid?
I don't know. That's a great question. That person is probably... That person may be listening to the show right now. If they are listening, they can text me to let me know if there's compensation involved. Because I would assume that the Magic Johnson person gets compensation.
I was just going to say, I'll let Magic or Keyshawn or whoever else, whatever you're paying, I'll do it for half. There you go. That's how American capitalism works right there. It's like, I can do it for cheaper, boss.
Yeah, that is true. I got half. Give me half. By the way, funny tweet just rolls in. The Rockets, I was just going to talk to you about the Western Conference here, so this is a perfect segue. The Rockets, who I believe, I still give them kind of my wild card position, a puncher's chance potentially to get through the Western Conference. Not that they're the favorite by any stretch of the imagination. Are doing a Zoom call at the moment. And Mike D'Antoni interrupts a question about how he will coach when social distancing is a priority. And Mike D'Antoni says, quote, "Well, that's how we guard anyway."
I know a lot of y'all don't like Mike D'Antoni, but one thing you can never say is he doesn't have a sense of humor. That man, he's here for the jokes, whatever angle they may arise.
Yes, there is no question about that. Shout out to Tim McMahon for tweeting that out for us. All right, so in the Western Conference, Dwight Howard is back. How does that make you feel about the Lakers' chances without Avery Bradley, but still with Dwight Howard?
More confident. I felt like without those two guys, they were still a championship caliber team, but obviously the room for error is a lot tighter. Now, obviously, you get Dwight back. It just gives them some breathing room. And this is how you say to yourself, without Dwight Howard, it means we have to rely on JaVale McGee more. It means we have to ask Anthony Davis to play a position that he's not particularly fond of more. And it means maybe we're seeing Kuzma play more minutes at the five just to kind of spell us. Now with Dwight back, now you can kind of, I'm not saying that we won't see any of those things, it's just we're not going to see as much of it because obviously Dwight is very productive.
So what is the amount of minutes? Because I believe that Anthony Davis, for the Lakers to win a championship, we know what LeBron's giving you, right? Anthony Davis is going to have to be the guy to say, hey, I got to prove to people that I can be a championship caliber player. I'm going to have to do it in a big way. There are people, not that people doubt his talent, but obviously, we know how we do it. If you haven't seen you do it, you got to do it. And then when you do it, we're like, do it again. But with Anthony Davis, how many minutes does he have to play at center where he's been phenomenal this season and the team has performed phenomenally? Like, what do you need to see from him at the center position for them to win the championship? Because I believe they got to play him there. Particularly when it comes to playing the Clippers, they're going to have to play him there more than he's probably accustomed to.
Yeah, and that's really why you need a Dwight Howard, is to say, look, I know you don't like to do this, so I'm only going to use you at this position when necessary, even though, as you pointed out, he's excellent at it. He just isn't fond of it. So when it comes to a matchup-driven kind of series like Clippers, where they like to go small, it's a lot more palatable for him, as opposed to saying, let's say they played Portland in the first round and you got Nurkic and Collins and those guys, and if Dwight Howard weren't available and JaVale McGee picks up two quick fouls, guess who's my center? It's Anthony Davis.
Right.
He may not be particularly fond of doing that, but it's kind of necessary. That's what Dwight Howard gives you. It gives you that flexibility to not have to turn to that as often, and that way you can save him from when you really need him, which is against a team like the Clippers.
Amin hanging out with us here. Amin, what do you make of the phenomenon of teams like Toronto, Milwaukee, Miami, particularly like those three in the East, where they give up more threes than almost anyone as far as the pure volume of it, but yet defend it so well? Like, do you believe that's luck, or do you believe that's scheme, or a combination of the two?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer, and the numbers show this, and it's common sense as well. It's not just a stats thing. That the best three-point defense is not giving up threes, right? The best three-point defenses don't give up three-point attempts. It's not that you shoot a lower percentage against them, because the reality is the amount of guarding that you do on a three-point attempt has very little to do, not zero, but not as much as you would think to do with whether the shot is made or not. effective defense isn't making him miss the shot. Effective defense is making him not even take the shot to begin with. Either they're picking the dribble, now they're going inside, or they're swinging it, or whatever. And like I said, the numbers bear this out. But also, if you think about basketball, like, you know, they throw in the post, and then he kicks it out, and they swing it around to the other corner. And if there's no defender there, the defender's late, that shot's going up. But if the defender closes out immediately, what do you see? The guy holds it and probably swings it back or maybe tries to dribble. Or, you know, basically that shot doesn't happen. That's the most effective defense. So when you look at those teams, and you know, that's a point I've been making, obviously, about Milwaukee for a while, is that their scheme is we're going to let you shoot it. If you get the ball, you know, we're banking on your offense not being sophisticated enough to get the ball to the open guy. But if it is there, then he's going to shoot it, and we're all right with that. And I just think that's kind of something that works in the regular season, something that might work in the first round of the playoffs. But as you get deeper, you'll see that the offenses are more sophisticated, and they will get that shot.
I mean, let me ask you this about the Eastern Conference, or just in general, right? Because the Basketball Power Index came out with their percentages of who's going to win the championship. They've got Milwaukee as an overwhelming favorite at 83%. I think the Lakers are at 13%. You had the Clippers at like 5 or 6%. And I think they gave Toronto like 1.5%. Why do you think Milwaukee is that overwhelming favorite? Because I feel like you and I are on the same page where I'm not a huge believer in Milwaukee winning the championship. Like, I still think they should be the favorite to win the East, even though I don't think that's going to be an easy route for them either. But I was stunned by that particular number.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, we have to acknowledge they're a really good team. Let's just start there. And so them having good chances to win a championship aren't outrageous. But I think the other part, when you start to go, why is that number so high, George, is kind of what we've been talking about, which is the idea that the numbers are based on your performance throughout the regular season. But your performance throughout the regular season isn't against the teams you'll be playing in the title, isn't against the teams that you'll be playing, you know, deep in the playoffs. It's against everybody. It's against the Chicagos and the Phoenixes and the New Yorks of the world, right? It's against the Clevelands of the world. You build your statistical profile by beating up bad teams, which is what you're supposed to do. I'm not trying to blame them for that. And also beating up on some good teams, but the reality is the overwhelming kind of superiority of their statistical profile is built largely on beating up on bad teams. And when you get to the playoffs, two things happen. One, you ain't playing bad teams anymore, you know, past the first round or so. You're playing really good teams, teams that are closer to you. And then two, the other thing is you're playing against teams that are not playing on the back end of a back-to-back or not seeing you for the first time in like 4 months or whatever. You're playing against teams that are game planning for you. They've watched your film. They've noticed your weaknesses. They are devising schemes to exploit those weaknesses. And I think that also plays a factor. And, you know, obviously that wouldn't factor into a statistical projection, which is based, again, on how you perform in a regular season.
I mean, I saw you on a video podcast with Rasheed Wallace, Bonzi Wells, and someone else who escapes me at the moment.
Gerald Brown.
And they asked you about Greg Popovich potentially coaching the Nets. Percentage Greg Popovich leaves the San Antonio Spurs and coaches the Brooklyn Nets, in your estimation?
Oof, let me see how much time we got left in this segment. 0.0000000 all the way to the end of the segment, 1%.
Okay, all right, fair enough. That's really all we need to know because, then it's not really worth discussing. Last thing before we let you go, we know that you have been a contestant on American Ninja Warrior in the past. The USA Network is got the green light for a new series called Cannonball, a competition show that has 16 contestants and a bunch of physical challenges. Do you think that we should try to campaign to get you on Cannonball here and use the power and the muscle of the worldwide leader to try to get you an opportunity on that particular show?
You know, I'm very loyal to my buddies, Matt Iceman and Akbar over at American Ninja Warrior. I've developed kind of a relationship with that show. I don't think I would be up for Cannonball, but as the old saying goes, how much they pay him. Okay. I might change my mind.
All right. Fair enough. So we'll let you research Cannonball, and the next time you're back, you let us know if you want us to set a full-fledged campaign, for you here. Because my guess is Cannonball is already filmed here in Southern California, and yeah. We could probably find a way to make that work.
And I want to say USA is owned by NBC Universal, which owns, obviously, American Ninja Warrior. So, I mean, it would all be kind of in the same family.
Right, exactly. Look at you. You're already making your way in. Like, you're already kind of open. You're kind of creeping the door open. Like, they're cousins anyway. Like, it's in the family. So, anyhow.
Yeah, my new dream is to be like one of those sideline people for American Ninja Warrior, but only for the failures. Like, I don't want to interview anyone who's out here doing flips and stuff. I want just the people who are being embarrassed, just like me.
The Hate Hard King, will make a return in those instances. All right, Amino Hassan, follow him on Twitter, @DarthAmin. All right, man, stay healthy, stay safe. Thanks again.
Thanks, George.
All right, man, appreciate it. All right, coming up in 90 seconds, what you need to know, including some interesting news about the Raiders. We're back in 90 seconds.